Hello, my name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings and I take notes. Today's notes are from the council meeting on May 7th, 2025. The mayor did not do a mayor's report today, so we will start with a public hearing on the Main Street Promenade Plan, or Promenade, I'm not sure. But if it's approved, it will make Main Street pedestrian only from Rusk to Commerce. Main Street is already pedestrian only from Dallas to Walker. Brian Crimmins from the mayor's office presented on the timeline, public engagement, expected outcomes, and more. He said, quote, "Even though the current program is permanent, it still largely looks and feels temporary," end quote. So the plans include maintenance. The downtown management district will be responsible for maintenance instead of the individual businesses. Accessibility. The roadway will be on level with the pedestrian area, which will reduce tripping hazards and make it more accessible. Placemaking. The corridor will have an identity as a public space, and shade. There will be more trees and shade structures in general. The fire department was consulted, so there will be adequate emergency access. Houston Public Works addressed concerns with drainage and overall design. Metro ensured safe rail operations through the corridor. Construction could start within a month and be completed in 2026 in time for the World Cup. Councilmembers Martinez and Castillo spoke in support. Mayor Whitmire supported the ordinance and thanked the entities who contributed funds, like the Downtown Management District and Metro. Two members of the public spoke in support. Now I'm going to move on to some selected agenda items. Item 3, approved work and final payment of $1.4 million for the renovation of three row houses at the Gregory School. Item 9, approved $11.2 million over 3 years for auto repair parts and services. Item 13, set a public hearing on May 21st at 9 a.m. to go over the proposed budget. Item 15, approved a $4 million loan to support an affordable apartment complex in Acres Homes. Item 17 is a juicy one. It approved a $1 million total settlement across two companies who sued the city for halted payment on emergency waterline repair they were doing in 2023. All payments on this type of work were frozen when a Houston Public Works employee was discovered scheming, bribing, and abusing her power to favor her and her family's companies. The two companies in today's item were caught in the crossfire, and they sued to recover the money the city contractually owed them. There is a link in the resources section if you want to read more about all of that drama. Item 18 approved a $500,000 settlement to Jones and Watson, who are the plaintiffs in the drainage lawsuit against the city. The quote from the support document says, "The plaintiffs have agreed to allow the city time to meet its obligations in return for payment of attorney's fees incurred during their lawsuit and certain other responsibilities the city must perform," end quote. But those certain other responsibilities were not gone over in detail at all, so we don't know what those are. Item 19 approved $1.6 million to renovate a new location for the South Central Police Station. This item today is for the pre-construction phase only. More funds will be requested for construction. And now I'm going to go over item 14, which has been at council for months and being sent back and gone back to the administration or tagged by various people. It has to do with a disparity study and the MWBE program. So today, item 14 adopted, or AKA officially approved, the results of a disparity study that investigated the city's minority and women-owned business enterprise program. I'm just going to call it the MWBE program. The MWBE program is meant to help minority and women-owned businesses achieve equal footing with other companies doing business with the city. The city is currently being sued by a white couple alleging the city is awarding contracts based on race. So the results of this disparity study needed to be officially adopted to bolster the city's case. Adopting the results or not adopting the results of the study was court mandated. Some of the results of the disparity study were unexpected, and the consultants recommended accordant adjustments to the ordinance. For instance, the study found that there was no disparity among Asian American and Hispanic businesses in professional services categories, and they recommended deprioritizing the women-owned certification aspect. These findings caused robust public engagement, and council ultimately agreed not to make any major changes for now. The changes made to the MWBE ordinance today will adopt the data of the disparity study. It will maintain the current MBE and WBE categories. It will expand the Small Business Enterprise Program across all spending categories. It's going to add a certification for veteran-owned small businesses. It's going to add support programs for micro businesses. And it's going to give more time for the Office of Business Opportunity, or OBO, to consider the feedback received and to possibly adjust the program further. Councilmember Castex Tatum spearheaded this ordinance update. She advocated today for accepting the study's data and continuing to work on the ordinance with OBO. Several council members advocated for more regular disparity updates, perhaps every 5 years instead of 20. Mayor Whitmire said, quote, "If we do not submit something to the court, the entire MWBE program is in jeopardy," end quote. Councilmember Davis had lots to say about equality and equal representation, including, "I don't think any of us want to see disparity among anybody. All people have a right to participate and be fair. And I just want to be assured that whatever the outcome is, that everybody is at the table, everybody's represented," end quote. I will take this opportunity to remind you that Davis advocated for the repeal of Houston's Equal Rights Ordinance back in 2014 and was quoted at the time saying that sexual preference is a choice. Councilmember Pollard disagreed with the decision to ignore the study's recommended changes. He said, quote, "We have to be able to respect the numbers and the study when it comes back, because if we don't and we keep things the same, then there's no point to waste money on the study in the first place," end quote. This item passed today. Councilmembers Huffman, Ramirez, and Carter voted no. And now I will conclude with the councilmember pop-off, which is when councilmembers get to talk about whatever they want. Councilmember Castillo plugged a budget town hall on May 17th at Fondy Community Center and a virtual budget town hall on May 22nd. Councilmember Davis advocated for upgrades and investment at the Eastside Water Purification Plant. Mayor Whitmire agreed and said the problems there are also a homeland security issue because the plant provides water to refineries. Councilmember Thomas encouraged people to make a disaster plan now that it's hurricane season. She mentioned the loss of grant funds to the Alief Super Neighborhood and praised their many programs. She had lots of upcoming events to plug. I'm not going to go over all of them. I recommend signing up for the District F newsletter if you want to know about them. Councilmember Peck shared that the new police contract will be aired at a joint committee meeting this Thursday at 10 a.m. Councilmember Martinez wished all of the moms a Feliz Dia de las Madres and a Happy Mother's Day. Councilmember Pollard thanked Mayor Whitmire for finally approving many of his Council District Service Fund proposals. Councilmember Alcorn mentioned the proposed budget's general fund is $74 million lower than last year, which she possibly attributed to the Ernst & Young efficiency report. Councilmember Carter said that one of her staffers was harassed in public for anti-bike lane comments Carter made. She said, quote, "I'm happy to own my own thoughts, my opinions, my beliefs, but my staff, and nor does anyone's staff, deserve to be harassed," end quote. Councilmember Evan Shabazz plugged an Edgewood community meeting on May 14th. And that was the Houston City Council meeting on May 7th, 2025. You can find the resources I used to compile these notes on my website, which is emilytakesnotes.com, and that is also where the notes themselves live if you decide you would rather read than listen. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. A very special thank you to Pawisha Sharwani, our newest subscriber. Thank you, Polly. We use that money to keep the podcast edition of the notes afloat. That link is patreon.com/emilytakesnotes if anyone listening would like to help us with that effort. This podcast was recorded by and has music by Joe Wozni, and it was produced by Connor Clifton. That's it for this week. I am Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.